From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we'll hear another message in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, a series preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Wrath to God's Glory. The text is Psalm 76 and verse 10. Surely the wrath of men shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Wicked men will be wrathful. Their anger we must endure as the badge of our calling, the token of our separation from them. If we were of the world would love its own. Our comfort is that the wrath of man shall be made to redound to the glory of God. When in their wrath the wicked crucify the Son of God, they were unwittingly fulfilling the divine purpose, and in a thousand cases the willfulness of the ungodly is doing the same. They think themselves free, but like convicts in chains, they are unconsciously working out the decrees of the Almighty. The devices of the wicked are overruled for their defeat. They act in a suicidal way and baffle their own plottings. Nothing will come of their wrath which can do us real harm. When they burned the martyrs, the smoke which blew from the stake sickened men of popery more than anything else. Meanwhile, the Lord has a muzzle and a chain for bears. He restrains the more furious wrath of the enemy. He is like a miller who holds back the mass of the water in the stream, and what he does allow to flow, he uses for the turning of his wheel. Let us not sigh, but sing, all is well, however hard the wind blows.
Sinking sand. Comfort me in the whelming flood, when all around my soul is weighty, then is all my hope and
Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called the true light shining amid terrible darkness. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, narrates the beginning of Christ's ministry in Galilee, an area despised by the Jews of Judea, as being worthless, particularly because it was largely inhabited by Gentiles. And yet, this is where the majority of the Savior's teaching and preaching took place. It highlights the truth that Christ is the Savior of the world, and He is the King of His people. But His is a spiritual kingdom, entered only by repentance and submission to the King. Unlike the monarchies of this world, Christ's kingdom is eternal. Now to conclude this message, the true light shining amid terrible darkness, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now, I've been emphasizing that the Lord Jesus fulfilled Isaiah chapter 9, where the prophet prophesied that Christ would bring light, that is, He would deliver from spiritual darkness and death. But I've emphasized that He promised more. He would defeat all of Israel's enemies and give them a victory. And He likens that victory to the victory that God gave to Gideon over Midian. That is a victory by direct divine intervention, starting with a very few people. And the reason He can do all this is that He is the child born, the Son given. He is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of His kingdom and of His government there'll be no end. Now see what that is saying according to Isaiah. The deliverance that Messiah brings depends upon His kingly government. The blessings of Christ rest upon the reigning of Christ. Where He reigns, every foe is defeated. Where He reigns, every blessing is conferred. Now keep that in mind and see Matthew 4 once again. He came in order to fulfill Isaiah chapter 9. And what does He do immediately? Verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Mark chapter 1. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent. Why? Because the kingdom is at hand. You want to have my light. And I think the message is very clear if you read the surrounding passages and the way the Lord Jesus spoke even to the nobleman who came from Capernaum down to Cana, as we studied last Sabbath morning. You may want light and blessing and help and hope through my miracles. You may be interested in some political solutions to the troubles of your land. You may be looking for someone to come and give you an immediate uplift in the midst of all the distresses that are physically bearing down upon you. But first and foremost, you've got to come to terms with the message of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, that the King is amongst you. And the way to enter into the blessings of Christ, Jesus was teaching, was to repent in the light of the kingdom, to submit to the claims of the King Himself. Now, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, synonymous terms, as Matthew 4 and Mark 1 make clear. But the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, really means the rule of God through His Son. It's the kingdom of God because, for obvious reasons, it is God who institutes the kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven because it's heavenly in its origin and in its authority. But the sphere of the realization of this kingdom is mostly upon the earth. And yet it is not of this world, we are told. It is a spiritual kingdom, fundamentally. Oh, it will have its earthly aspects. It even now has its earthly aspects. But it is fundamentally a spiritual kingdom. And that's why when the Lord Jesus stepped forth, He did not step forth immediately to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy that He would drive out every foe from the land of Israel. Now that's still in Isaiah. And it still waits to be fulfilled. It has never been fulfilled. It waits to be fulfilled. But when Jesus came upon the scene at his first coming, the Gospels do not refer to his coming to fulfill that part of Isaiah's prophecy. The part that he came to fulfill was first and foremost light in the darkness, life in the shadow of death, hope for the hopeless, the gospel that the King has come. Therefore, repent. Therefore, repent. What is repentance? You could give it many definitions. But in the simplest definition, repentance is submission to the kingly rule of Christ. Repentance is submission to the lordship of Christ. And that's how Jesus started his ministry. The King has come. That's why he could say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's why he could also say the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is among you. Within you, as it's translated in the English version. Within in the sense, not of inside your heart just, but it's among you. It's here on earth. It started. Why? Because the King has come. And wherever hearts are in submission to Christ, there the King reigns on earth. The church really is the fellowship of those who have submitted to Christ. Those who have bowed to the King. When you bow to the King according to Matthew 19, if you compare 16 and 23, you'll find you get eternal life, for the kingdom of heaven is eternal life. There's an aspect of the kingdom that's yet future. Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come. It still has to come. Why? Because the King who came that first time and shone as light is coming back the second time. And the light will so shine as to blind and blight and curse the forces of anti-Christian religion and politics. And the King himself will come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 give us a terrible picture of his coming. With his in mighty power, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. What a glorious message. And then will be brought to pass the rest of Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 9. God is not unfaithful. God has not forgotten his promise. Then will be brought to pass all those aspects of the promise of defeat for every foe in that holy land, physical enemies of every kind defeated, and the inauguration of a mighty spiritual blessing. The kingdom is also eternal. 2 Peter 1:11 calls it the everlasting kingdom. That's why when you believe in Christ and submit to him, you get everlasting life. But the point you've got to understand is, the gospel introduces us to a kingdom, and you don't get in while you're in rebellion against the King. There's no man can enjoy the blessings that Jesus Christ brings who does not receive Christ as King. Hebrews 5:9 says that he became the author of eternal salvation. To whom? Unto all them that obey him. Some people find difficulty with that. Is that salvation by works? No, just let the Bible speak for itself. Let's quit imposing things on Scripture. Just let it speak for itself. He's the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Are we then saved by our personal obedience? Does Romans 5 not teach we're saved by the obedience of Christ? Yes, we are. Last night I was just reading a great prayer of C.H. Spurgeon's. Spurgeon lifted his heart in the pulpit to the Lord. And he said, Lord, we rejoice, and we know that it is by the righteousness of another that we stand righteous before thee. But, Lord, we long to be conformed to the image of Christ. Put it in Paul's words. 1 Corinthians 1:30, of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Going untranslated, there is a little particle which ties righteousness and sanctification together. And the translation really is, he's made unto us wisdom and both righteousness and sanctification. They're tied together. We stand accepted by the imputed righteousness of Christ, but God never yet justified a soul that he failed to sanctify. Never once. And I want to tell you, when Paul speaks of faith, that's why he can call it the obedience of faith. Faith obeys God. Faith obeys God. Jesus says, this is the work of God, that ye believe. Believe what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But who is Jesus Christ? I have kept emphasizing, he's the counselor, that's the prophet. We believe he tells the truth about salvation. He's the priest. He offered up himself a sacrifice once for all without blemish to God for sin. We believe that. But he's also the king. And it's a whole Christ that you receive when you receive him. You don't receive Christ in bits and pieces. And this modern heresy masquerading under a proclamation of free grace, that you can receive the prophet and the priest while refusing the king, is a heresy. Because Jesus said, repent, because the kingdom is at hand. And if you're not in the kingdom of heaven, let me rephrase that. If you don't get into the kingdom of heaven, you will undoubtedly spend eternity in the kingdom of darkness. And the only way into the kingdom of heaven is by recognizing the King. His blessings are enjoyed only by those who receive the King. Christ is the hope for the hopeless, a sure hope, a certain hope, a biblical hope, a God-confirmed hope, a hope open to all who will recognize the King. He's the only true and God-ordained Savior. He has come. And as was said to Mary, the Master has come, calleth for thee. You stop to think of it, you know, we now enjoy the very same privileges as the people of Galilee did. The light has broken, the hope has come, the King stands before us. And he says, repent, believe the gospel. I hope this morning that we will make sure that we make better use of that privilege than the Galileans did. Because as we go on in the will of God and the life of Christ, we'll find that they largely rejected the light. As he said in Matthew 11:23, woe unto thee, Capernaum. Thou art exalted to heaven. That was the light shining. That was the King in the midst. Thou art exalted to heaven. thou shalt be brought down to hell will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day than it will be for thee. Because you see, light rejected only makes the darkness of hell all the blacker. We have received the very privileges that the hopeless Galileans received. Make sure today that you make good use of those privileges. Repent. Bow the knee. Not just as a flash in the pan, but as the commitment of a life, a soul, and an eternity. Bow the knee to Christ, the King.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.